Welcome to the More Perfect Union, the podcast that offers real debate without the hate. I'm Kevin Kelton, and today we bring you the final More Perfect Union podcast for the summertime of 2022. We will be taking a few weeks off, doing some traveling, spending some time with our families, and we'll be back in the middle or the end of August, as yet to be determined. But in the meantime, tonight, to bring you our last podcast for this summer, we have what I consider a very special show and a very special guest. It's just me and one interview guest who, for the purposes of anonymity, we are calling Polina. I've talked about her before on this podcast. I know her through a mutual friend, and she comes from Armenia and has been living in Russia for the last couple of decades. Now she goes back and forth between Russia and the United States, but she has a very interesting story to tell about her experiences in Russia, especially when the war was first starting in Ukraine. So, Polina, hi.
Hi, Kevin.
And I want to ask you, first of all, your background. Now, you're not Russian, right? What's your ethnicity, your background?
I'm Armenian.
Armenian, that's right. And you grew up in Armenia?
Yes, I was born and grew up in Armenia.
And lived most of your life either in Armenia and or Russia, correct?
Most of my life I lived in Russia.
And that was as a young girl and then as an adult. Tell me about what it was like to live in Russia growing up and then as an adult. Just tell me what you thought about it, what you liked, what you maybe didn't like.
I would say great, because mostly when you are kid and adult, you don't even think how it is living right in that place. You just love that place. But when you are getting older, in Russia, in that period, when I moved from Armenia to Russia, both countries has a crisis, because in that moment, Soviet Union got apart, and every country tried to survive by own. So exactly at that period, I moved from Armenia to Russia, and it was hard.
Okay.
But it was hard not only for me, I think for most of people it was hard, because it when we learn in school that economic crisis or something, we think it doesn't touch us, but it really can make big effect on our life.
When the Soviet Union broke up, was that a concern to you? Were you worried? Were you upset? Or did you think maybe it was a good thing?
I was very young. I didn't understand.
Okay.
But that period during that Soviet Union, we were very happy. We think we have everything we need. My parents told me that they live a very good life.
Now, we met back in, I think, 2020, maybe even a little bit earlier. You were in the United States for a while, and then you went back for family reasons. You went back to Russia, and this was right around the same time. This was like maybe the end of 2021, the beginning of 2022, just as Putin was starting to build up his forces inside Russia along the Ukrainian border. Were you aware of the buildup at the time, and what did you think was happening?
Yeah, I was there, and that situation I remember very clear. Everybody who I talked to was very well worried, and they are like, oh, do you see what's going on? It's going to happen. And nobody believed to that that's possible, because Ukraine and Russia, they are similar ethnicity. They have same roots. They are brothers. They are real brothers.
Yeah.
And when that happened, of course, everybody was shocked. And they thought it's going to take only 3-4 days, not longer. But it's going on until now.
Okay.
And nobody knows.
Now, you know, of course, that Putin took land in Crimea. I think it was in 2014 he took back Crimea. Since then, there were parts of the Donbas that he's either taken back or attempted to take back. When you realized that he was going further into Ukraine, did you have a sense of why he was doing that? Did it make sense to you? Or did you think, like, this is unnecessary? What were your thoughts?
So I don't know, do you know or not, but this doesn't happen just yesterday or on February 24th.
Right.
This started almost 10 years, maybe I'm wrong, 8 years. This Crimea, Donbas, Donetsk, all that story, this story, is going on almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's not just happened yesterday.
Right. Did you think it was a good thing to try to reunite them with the Soviet, with Russia? Were you in favor of that?
I am generally, I like when people get along together. But this is all not about people. This is all about politics. This happened because I think this is not between Russia and Ukraine. It's my opinion. I'm not politic. I
sure.
Regular human being.
Yeah.
Because this affects everybody, even Americans, people. Because we have now, you have now here lots of immigrants from Ukraine, from Russia. Nobody likes this. Nobody.
Right.
But that's why you are subconsciously starting to understand or analyze why, what's the reason.
Okay.
So my thought is this war is between Russia and America, actually, not with Ukraine. It's like a superpower, two countries trying to delete whole world between them and have power and try to submit or try to prove their power above all of the world. So I think this will be done when America and Russia can just delete Ukraine two parts, and one part will be as a Germany now. America tells Germany what to do. So now half of Ukraine, America will tell what to do, but half will take Russia because Russia won't let to have that lands or access to water, that Black Sea.
So when the Russian forces started to penetrate deep into Ukraine and the war was going to be more than a couple of days, what were you hearing in the media? And I'll tell you why I ask. The person that you and I know mutually, that I met you through that person, we talked about that. And he told me that he was in contact with you. And there might have been a point where you didn't believe it was happening, or you thought it wasn't really a war, and that people in the United States were getting bad information. Is that correct? Did you think that at first?
Yes. First of all, in the beginning, you have here not real information, not correct information, because in the beginning wasn't that bad, and nobody touch even these regular people, citizens of Ukraine. They don't do anything wrong. But I don't watch news. I don't read paper about politics because I just don't believe. Because this is huge propaganda. America does his own propaganda and Russia does. You can't blame for doing that because that's the way they have to make believe their own people to support them.
So you're living in Russia. You're going about your life, right? You're aware that there's this military action happening in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you're not in the military. I don't think any of your family is in the military. So it didn't have an immediate or direct impact on you. But the sanctions that the United States and the Western countries started to apply were having some kind of an effect on Russia and the Russian people, no?
All kind of effect. All
okay.
Bad kind of.
So it was having a lot of effect and,
yes.
And big effects.
Yes.
How is that for you personally? What problems did that create for you in your daily life?
We survived, but that nowadays you can survive on different ways. It's not like, oh my God, I can't live. Of course you will. But it makes your life harder, much harder than you are used to already. Shopping, it doesn't matter, food, everything become, because whole world is connected with each other. We use dollars. Sometimes we use dollars because Russia doesn't have just perfect economy. Most stuff we buy from outside. So, of course, that affects us. But now they live with no problem. I have family there. They are already know how to solve that problem. So now it's okay.
Okay. But initially, I believe you were having trouble like getting money out of the bank, especially some U.S. savings, some U.S. dollar savings. And you found out that they were being frozen or the banks were closed. Is that right?
No, just they don't sell anything. They don't. You can't reach that. You can't do any transaction or just don't. You can't do anything. You have to use only Russian money.
So were the stores, did they have less inventory, and was it harder to go shopping and get what you needed?
No. Everything they have everything, still have everything. Maybe some stores were closed, brands, IKEA, for example, just that kind of stores. But soon they will be open. Probably they are already open.
Okay. What about when McDonald's closed? Was that a big deal, or did people just kind of shrug?
No, when I was there, that happened when I was there even. So McDonald's is very popular in Russia. Of course, people love that product.
At what point did you realize that this was war and that citizens, a lot of people, were dying on both sides? Did you cut, or do you believe that?
Of course, I believe that. I have friends. I have friends of friends who is trying to survive, who is really in bad situation, really, really in bad situation, because they lost everything. Their whole life is ruined already. They can't come back. They have to start all over again. It's not one people, 200, that's million people.
Right. So when you were there and the war was picking up pace, I know that you maybe didn't watch a lot of news, but certainly people in your house occasionally had the television on. Do they have channels there like CNN or TASS or Russian TV? How would you get information?
True TV. And what, 24 hours.
What channels?
First, there is a Russian, first Russian, and separate one, first channel, four or five that political, who work for government, exactly, uh-huh. For government. They are not independent. They don't like that.
Right.
In Russia, they don't like
it. So were you hearing about the war from those reporters?
Yeah.
And did they make it sound like it was going good for the Russians, for the Russian forces?
They are trying to explain why this is going on, and they trying to make sure that they do right. They don't try. They do what they do, and they are sure that they are right.
So at a certain point, you decided, in consultation with your family and with other people that you knew, that it might be smart to get out of Russia for a while and go home to Armenia, where you still have family and friends, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what was that trip like? Was it difficult? Was it scary? How long did it take? Was there any problem getting out of Russia?
Yes, because there is almost no flight. Before, if we fly from Moscow to Yerevan during 2.5 hour, now it's taking four and a half hour. Almost no tickets, almost no flying. You can buy a ticket and after 1 week they will cancel. So nothing 100% sure that you will get the place you want to.
Now, you finally got out of the country. Did you go by airplane or did you drive?
No, you can drive because it's long drive, and through Georgia was closed, and also does this COVID makes things difficult than it was. We flew with my daughter. I told my son, let's get out from here. He didn't want, because he said he feels that in Russia, he feels very, very protected, which I agree, yes, with. I agree, because you really feel very confident, protected, especially in Moscow.
Okay.
Nobody wants to
Okay, so for a while before you came back to the States, you were back in Armenia, and I would imagine it was nice because you consider that kind of a home also,
mm-hmm.
and I think you have some other siblings and other family there, so that must have been very nice for you, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So here's the most important question that I wanted to ask you today. You have a different worldview than most Americans because you mm-hmm. have a different life and a different experience than most Americans. What do you think of Putin? What do you think is happening in this war? Do you support it, or do you feel like most Americans that it was an unnecessary aggression?
So in one thing, I think we will be similar. We have similar thoughts. Nobody, Kevin, I don't think that anybody, even in United States, even in Russia, it doesn't matter either, or in Russia, people want to fight with each other. They don't want. I'm 100% sure, because everybody has son. And in Russia, mostly, you have to go to military. You don't have choice. If you have son, your son has to go to military. And Russia, our Russians are very peaceful people. They are never aggressive. Everybody who knows history, they know Russia never was aggressor. So in that point, I think nothing in the world doesn't worth that nothing. People have to die for that.
So do you think Putin is a good leader, or are you angry at him?
So there is, as a leader, I have two different opinion about him. He's good leader. When he protects his border and how he related it to other countries, he's great leader, I think so. But for his own people, he's the worst leader that I know. All leaders almost are worst. Nobody is good to me. But for his own people, he doesn't do anything almost, because we don't have economy. We don't have, we have huge resources that could make our country very strong, powerful that it was before. But they are very corrupt to do that for people. But when we are talking about Putin as a leader for country in relationship between other countries, he is great leader, because he is doing everything to keep that land, that everything has whole power of Russia. That is his job.
But I'm going to ask you again a little bit about him going into Ukraine. You know, there's been a lot of loss of life, including women, children, elderly people. Schools and hospitals have been bombed. Malls have been bombed. People riding bicycles in the street. Do you feel it's all justified? I know you're against war. That we all agree on. We're all against war in the abstract. But a war is happening. And the Ukrainians did not attack Russia. Do you agree?
Yes.
So why do you think, yes, we know Putin wants to bring back some form of the Soviet Union. That's pretty obvious. He mm-hmm. wanted to bring countries or regions that he believes are natural parts of Russia. He wants to bring them back into the fold. But do you think that he's justified in doing that, especially given the incredible loss of life that's happening because of it?
So I don't know, can I talk with, tell these kind of things?
Because you say whatever you want.
Now I am here. I love this country.
Yeah.
I love this opportunity that this country gave to me. But there is one big but. As I told you before, this is my only my opinion. I'm
okay.
As regular people can have its own. I could be wrong, but this is what I think about all this situation. So it's very important. We can't look at this situation only thinking, oh, kids are being killed. This started not today. I mean, Putin tried to stop Ukraine, and 100 million times he told, we can't continue this. We should come up with some decision.
But what was Ukraine doing that he said it can't continue? They were an independent country.
No, they are not. They are independent, but they took money from America. They are corrupt. They are very corrupt. Government, not people. So they took money from America. They come up with some agreement with America. And Ukraine is playing two games with you, with America, and with Russia. That's why this process doesn't stop. Didn't stop. That's why this all going on 8 years almost. So one day, because they killed, you didn't know what's going on, what was happening this 8 years. Ukrainians that they have a military with calls national, I don't know how it translates, but they have special military who fight with, who killed people in Donetsk, in everywhere that in that land, on that land.
So you think that the Ukrainians were the aggressors in Donbas?
Yes.
But isn't that because they were trying to get back Donbas?
No. It's not about they are trying to get back Donbas, because this is history. If we are talking about these things, we have to know the history. So Crimea, that was all Russian territory. In 1915, that Khrushchev, Stalin, they just make their own map and they gave part of lands to Ukraine, part of lands to other Azerbaijanis, let's say. It doesn't real borders of that country. So the fact that Russia took back Crimea and Donetsk, that doesn't mean that was Ukraine land, that Ukraine owned that land. No. But because of Ukraine and Russia were brothers, very, very close two nations to each other. Before, they never talk about that. They didn't ask, this is my land, this is your land. But because of Ukraine trying to play with not really clear and honest game, and he is trying to be good for everybody and not good for Russia, that's why. So Putin decided to just finish this process. This is what I'm thinking.
What do you think of Ukrainian President Zelensky?
I like him as a comedian, but not as a politic. He's not politic, and this is a game. This is what American government or European, I don't know who is who work with this, but they put him as
easy
manipulate, yes, and do whatever they want. He doesn't have any worth. He doesn't have anything value. I mean,
well, what about the fact that he's obviously a very effective wartime leader in organizing the Ukrainian forces and fighting back against a much larger country and a much larger military? You don't think so?
No, of course not. He's doing that because he has support all French, America, England. They support. How can Ukraine fight with Russia? It's ridiculous.
But shouldn't those other Western countries, those NATO countries, shouldn't they support Ukraine?
No.
No?
I don't think so. No, of course. Because whole Europe buy gas as before from Russia. But everything in Europe become expensive more than 20-30% because of this gas. And they are not happy with this war too, because their economy is after this COVID crisis, because this is real, this was really crisis. And I think again, this again, something with America or Russia. I accept that America is that most powerful country, and all this crisis was created to kill Europe. But again, this is my opinion. So now the only country that wins something, that have something good from this war, it's only America. Because Europe, for Europe, this is very bad situation. But America has, I think, some problem with the economy too, because he has too much money, and now it's probably going to be very bad situation. He needs to get rid of this money. So through this war, he's trying to get rid of this money.
He being Biden?
No, America, because I don't think that Biden is can do something like that, because in my opinion, he is trying to be honest and trying to do everything by hurt, most by hurt them. This is not one day decision. This all we had before Cold War.
Yes.
And now this is kind of like Cold War, not obvious. Nobody mentioned that. Nobody named this by word war, but this is really real war, because nowadays is everything is digital. People won't just with gun fight each other. What's going on in Ukraine? That they trying to get rid of that guns, everything that's military. This is laundry money.
Laundered money? Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Now you're in the United States now. I think you're hoping to stay here for a long time, if not forever. Uh-huh. If there's one last message that you would like to say to Americans who are hearing someone who's lived in Russia, what would be your closing message to Americans?
I know them to know that Russian people are the most peaceful. Also, I'm telling you, educated, which makes them more big view of world and things. They will never attack with to someone. They are really, if they are friend, then they are 100% friend. They will do everything for you. But they would never want to attack or kill someone. It's not true. It's okay. All about our governments.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Did you have fun? Are you happy you did it?
I think I'm. You can't, of course, talk this kind of things in Russia.
Yeah, I know.
There is no democracy there.
Great.
It was fun. Thank you.
It was very fun talking to you. And I think this is going to be a very interesting podcast to a lot of people. So, Polina, I want to thank you for doing this, taking time out of your busy day to do this. I also want to thank our listeners for listening to us. I want to remind them that this is going to be our last podcast for a while, because I'm going on vacation. Jessica and I are going on a long and much overdue vacation. So the More Perfect Union will be taking its summer hiatus. Mm-hmm. We will be back either in mid-August or late August. I'm not exactly sure yet of the date, but I want to thank people for listening. Please just keep subscribing to us. Keep our subscription going on your Apple iTunes or Apple Podcast service, wherever you get your podcasts. And when we come back, you will see our logo and you will see our new podcasts uploaded onto your system. So again, thank you for doing this. And for the More Perfect Union, this is Kevin Kelton. Have a great summer and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for inviting me.
That was great. You were wonderful. Yes. Yes. And I learned a lot. And I think a lot of people are going to feel the same way.